This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
Why is it only putting council tax up by 4%? That's over £10 million that the council could have brought in order to address these shortcomings. And they've decided to make a different choice in order to only partially betray their election promises. It's not going to wash, really. You can't offer a begging bowl to government if you're not trying to get your hands on as much local funding as possible as well.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Kent Politics Podcast. It's another bite-sized edition with highlights from what's caught the eye of our local democracy reporters Simon Finlay, who covers KCC, Robert Boddy, who follows Medway Council, and Dan Essen, who keeps close tabs on what our borough and district councils are up to. And I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with Kent Online, and I'll be taking a look at things at Westminster. The week kicked off at County Hall with a hastily arranged press conference. There were a few elements to it, but essentially Reform UK has called on the government for more money to pay for young adults who have left the carer system as asylum-seeking children. KCC leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron argues that there is no funding between the ages of 20 and 21 when the council has to house, feed and clothe these people by law. Young adult asylum seekers are not allowed to work because of their undetermined immigration status. Councillor Kemp-Caron claims this is an unfair burden on the residents of Kent, since more than half of those near 2,000 individuals are currently in that category. Councillor Kemp-Caron also claims that successive governments have failed to tackle the small boats crisis, which just perpetuates the problem. However, the press conference came almost the instant Ofsted had issued a report about KCC's children's services, which had downgraded it from outstanding in 2022. To good overall in 2026. But the single biggest area of concern, and the one that now, and I quote, requires improvement to be good, concerns care leavers. And you've guessed it, among them are the costly over 21s in the asylum system. Lyndon Kemp-Caron stacked packs of paper you'd get for the office photocopier to show how the number of refugee children coming through Kent has quadrupled to 16,000 in the past decade. Naturally, Simon asked how much all of this had cost over the years, but there were no figures available. Later, our KMTV colleague Ollie Leader and Simon asked how much Lyndon Kemp-Caron was seeking from the Home Secretary to fund the pressures on Kent and its residents. Unfortunately, that figure also eluded Lyndon on the day. Here's what she had to say.
It is exactly the same team of people who are looking after children in care, as in the under 18s, and they're looking after the care leavers. They are delivering the same excellent, outstanding level of care across the board. The only difference is that Kent County Council is funded properly by government for unaccompanied asylum-seeking children up to the age of 18. But after the age of 18, that funding drops off dramatically. After the age of 21, when these unaccompanied asylum-seeking children are still in our care, we are legally obliged to care for them, we have no funding from central government. The demand on our services has increased fourfold in the last decade. We are now dealing with a bulge of unaccompanied asylum-seeking children who are now young adults who are still dependent on our care leavers' services.
So why do you think Ofsted downgraded, because all this requires improvement, several other categories were downgraded from outstanding to good. Why do you think that happened then?
Well, you've got access to the Ofsted report, as has everybody. You can read the report and draw your own conclusions. What I can't do is discuss the rationale behind Ofsted's decision-making process. Ofsted are Ofsted. They will do what they will do. What I can do is point out the discrepancies in the funding that we receive from central government. Geographically, here in Kent, we are placed under a huge burden just by virtue of the fact that we are a border county. These unaccompanied children rock up on our shores. We are immediately legally obliged to put them in our children's care services and look after them, not just till the age of 18, which is funded, but up to the age of 25, which is not funded whatsoever.
Talk us through some pressures that KCC faces with the unaccompanied asylum-seeking children. Obviously, children's services are massively complicated. People at home may not know about the statutory duties that Kent County Council has. Well, can you kind of talk through the numbers and what the increase actually looked like in real terms for Kent County Council?
Well, obviously, our service is under huge pressure because we are legally obliged to look after children who are not citizen children. They are unaccompanied asylum-seeking children. That puts a huge strain on our services. But our staff cope brilliantly because they are professional, they are dedicated, they are absolutely brilliant at what they do. So that is not where the problem lies. The problem lies in the fact that the government, successive governments, have absolutely failed abysmally to secure our borders. So the small boats, they're going to keep coming. As soon as the weather improves in spring and summer, the boats are going to be coming in ever increasing numbers. And on those boats, which are mostly filled with men, as we know, there are a few children dotted around. And it is those children that we become immediately responsible for here in Kent County Council.
So I have to ask, what are you actually calling on today? What's kind of the list of things you want from government to shore up KCC's position here?
Well, number one, I would like them to secure the borders. That is the most important thing, because until you can secure the borders and actually stop people who shouldn't be here coming into our county, we're on a hiding to nothing. I don't think that's going to happen under this government, sadly. So in the interim, I'm calling on the Home Office to grant us here at Kent County Council an urgent meeting so that we can outline, just as I have done today with you all in this room, I can outline the problem to the Home Office and demand that they take it seriously, because it is simply not fair that the burden, the financial burden for all these thousands, thousands and thousands of unaccompanied asylum-seeking children is falling on the council taxpayer here in Kent. This is not a Kent problem. This is a national and an international problem. It is simply unfair that we're having to cough up for the bill.
Naturally, the opposition parties waded in and tried to pull things apart. The Liberal Democrats' Richard Stretfield said the letter to the Home Secretary was a smokescreen to disguise the poor Ofsted rating, while the Conservatives' Harry Rayner said there would be more money in the system for KCC to spend if they had pushed up the council tax to near 5%, rather than the proposed 3.99% to go before full council next week. Here's what the KCC Green Party group leader, Councillor Mark Hood, had to say.
The report details where we do things well, and we have done things well. Hence, we had that outstanding report in 2022. Nobody's pretending that additional money wouldn't be helpful, but the additional money isn't the sole cause. If we could do something to control the amount of looked after children who are being outsourced, if you like, from the capital to Kent, that would certainly be helpful. Any additional money would be helpful, but if it's about money, the question has to be asked, why is it that the council hasn't decided to put up the council tax by a full 5%? Why is it only putting council tax up by 4%? That's over £10 million that the council could have brought in order to address these shortcomings. And they've decided to make a different choice in order to only partially betray their election promises. It's not going to wash, really. You can't offer a begging bowl to government if you're not trying to get your hands on as much local funding as possible as well.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
This week, Robert has been looking at Medway's finances. Medway has faced financial problems for several years, but has managed to stave off the dreaded Section 114, which is effective bankruptcy. This week, the authority published its draft budget for the next financial year, and although it's not as rosy as had originally been hoped, officers say things are on the right footing and the future looks brighter. Back in 2024, Medway Council had to take exceptional financial support from the government, which is permission to borrow money to cover day-to-day spending, and it set out a three-year plan of how it was going to make savings and efficiencies to get on a firmer financial footing. The 2026-27 financial year will be the third and final year, and while the authority won't meet its ambition of not needing EFS, it will be borrowing £10.1 million, which was the figure it was anticipated to need back in 2024. The main pressures remain the same: the increasing demand of adult and children's social care, supporting homeless people and providing temporary accommodation, as well as inflation. But officers are confident they've made enough efficiency savings to set Medway Council up for a more cost-effective future. However, this will mean increased charges for things like parking, as the administration has preferred the tactic of making up shortfalls by raising revenue rather than making cuts to services. Therefore, parking charges are to rise by 50p if you're parking for up to an hour, and by 60p if you're parking for an hour or more. This will bring an hour's parking up from £2.40 to £2.90 and 2 hours parking from £2.90 to £3.50. This is the second year running parking charges have been increased, as parking for an hour in March 2025 was just £1.80. However, some charges will actually reduce. If you're parking for 30 minutes or less, the cost will fall from £1.90 to just a pound. This is to try and help people who are parking up to pop into shops and just grab a couple of bits.
People will be aware that we've been on a journey of financial sustainability. That's been challenging. We've had to take some difficult choices. But when we first spoke to government about this, we were clear it would be a three-year programme. And we're in year three of that now. We're moving into that. We were hopeful at one point we may not have to seek exceptional financial support, but we are going to have to do that for the reasons laid out in the papers, particularly around some of the challenging demographic pressures that we continue to have here in Medway. So we've made good progress on the savings required for this current financial year by the end of quarter three, so 75% of the way through the year. We've made 81% of the savings. So we're making good progress, but there's always more to do on that as well. But from my perspective, I'm proud of the work that's been happening, sometimes at very quick speed, to get us to the point where we've got our draft budget in place.
And what is the scale of the EFS that you'll be needing both for this year and next year?
So for the budget that we'll be bringing forward to the February council meeting, that will be in the region of £10 million. That was actually what we anticipated when we first talked to government 2.5 years ago. Obviously, what will be required for this year, we're still working through that. People are still working on efficiency savings and income generation. So we won't know that final figure till we get to outturn. But that will be part of the conversation we'll be having with central government as we move forward.
In terms of things that people, you know, in their day-to-day lives are going to see, changes to the way Medway Council runs and things like that. One of the things that is parking charges increases. Could you just outline sort of what those changes are?
So there's three key things I would highlight here. Firstly, we have brought forward generally quite a revolutionary process of bringing down the price of the one-hour parking. That's as a direct result of listening directly to both residents and businesses. Often they'll talk about the need for someone just to be in town for a short period of time. So this hopefully will encourage that to take place and support our small businesses and support our residents who are accessing their town centre specifically for that. We are putting up parking charges more generally aside that. And absolutely, we recognise that that's still mean that we're kind of mid-table when you look across the region of Kent, and we are also increasing for the first time the country park charges, both the day charges but also the permit, which is good value for money if you're a regular user of our country parks. And of course, it's one permit for all country parks across Medway.
Officers say the changes they have made mean predictions for finances in future years are much more manageable, and the prospect of the council having to declare bankruptcy is less and less likely. It was revealed this week that Tunbridge and Morling Borough Council is set to approve plans for a new town council for Tunbridge at the end of the month. With local government reorganisation looking over all of Kent's authorities, there are increasing moves to make sure towns and villages all have some sort of representation at parish level, which can persist after the districts are abolished in the coming years. This usually involves a very long procedure called a community governance review, which involves multiple rounds of consultation. In Tunbridge's case, the first round attracted more than 3,000 respondents, which is about 12% of the eligible population. Believe it or not, that's actually quite high compared to what you often get with these consultations. The Tory leadership of the Borough Council, as well as the Lib Dem opposition, are welcoming the plans, which the full council is set to approve at a meeting on February the 24th. After that, the plan is for the first election to Tunbridge Town Council to take place in May 2027. And to Westminster, where much of the talk has been about the latest release of the Jeffrey Epstein files and the growing anger among Keir Starmer's own Labour MPs over his handling of the Peter Mandelson scandal. That debate aside, what it has also done again, and quite rightly so, is brought into focus how victims of abuse, and domestic abuse in particular, are dealt with by our systems. This week, Gravesham MP Dr. Lauren Sullivan spoke at Westminster about how a number of her constituents had told her about the terror of waiting in line to go into court and then having to wait in the same waiting room alongside their accuser or abuser. She said sometimes special arrangements had been made to keep them apart, but this wasn't always the case. And she asked Justice Minister Alex Davis-Jones if she could look at making this kind of thing, where victims and defendants are kept apart throughout the whole process, the norm. Ms Davis-Jones said the Ministry of Justice was investing over £550 million into victim support, the biggest investment in the service to date, and said things were happening after the government published its Violence Against Women and Girls strategy in December. That set out how they were going to achieve their mission to halve such crimes, including domestic abuse, by rolling out things such as domestic abuse protection orders and looking at how they can maximise specialist domestic abuse courts. Ms Davis-Jones said that it was important witnesses were looked after so they could give their best evidence, and the government was introducing legislation to improve access to special measures for witnesses and victims, including allowing victims to be accompanied by a companion while giving evidence, to providing separate entrances and exits at courts, and allowing pre-recorded cross-examination. There's still a long way to go, but it's a start. Okay, that's it from me for this week. We'll be back next week with another roundup of what's happening in Kent. In the meantime, don't forget to keep an eye on Kent Online for the latest politics coverage, and you can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.